Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, almost hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Hopefully we'll be joined by Maura Noonan. We connected with her a moment ago. Hopefully we can reconnect and get her on the show. And we'll find out what she's been doing as she's been world traveling herself and speaking in a lot of different places and sharing her story of spiritual deceptions and the challenges that are there when it comes to the spiritual warfare that's obviously and unfortunately a part of this faith walk. So we'll talk to her. Father Michael White, it's Thursday. We'll be talking to him up in the rebuilt parish alliance association, whatever. I always get it wrong. We'll see if I get it right by the time I talk to him. And if time, we're going to talk about this. I don't know if you saw this video of the CNN correspondent supposedly, quote-unquote, body slammed, as that was reported by The Blaze. And I don't see this as being a body slam, based on what I understand from the wrestling move, that when you hear body slam, it certainly suggests a very specific type of action that is nowhere near what happens on this video. We'll talk about that. And more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Joined as we are on a monthly basis by Maura Noonan this afternoon, lecturer, author, spiritbattleforsouls.org is her website. Welcome, Maura. How are you?
How are you? Thank you.
Good. So you've been doing some world traveling since we talked last, and you see the faith alive across the globe. That's good. Good to see that.
Well, I was in Eastern Europe, not Western Europe, but in Eastern
Europe.
Right,
sure.
It's pretty alive. It looks pretty good. Yeah, I was in churches that were from the 7th century, 12th century,
13th
century.
Beautiful life.
You know, we still have Sunday Mass, Rosary groups, Legion of Mary. I mean, people actually show up for even healing masses. People actually show up for lots of events, and it's a beautiful sight to see. So many hundreds of years later. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And just to see the endurance of the faith, I think,
right.
and to see it presented in that kind of fashion where you're in a facility that has stood there for 1,000+ years, it's amazing.
Right.
I know that feeling. It's just unbelievable.
Oh, and some of them, this one church, I think it was back to the 7th century, they had the same order of priests for that long. The Franciscans have been there.
Benedictines.
Still Benedictines. Yeah, the Benedictines had been there for that long. So in other words, not only do they still have people showing up, but they actually have the same order of priests showing up.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Wow.
So it's just amazing to see that. And in many places with Franciscans since 12th century and that kind of thing. So it was just tremendous to see 13th century, 14th, 15th century. I mean, you could walk through some of the towns and you get about 500 years just walking down the street, you know,
mm-hmm.
because there's so much history.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I guess in America, you have to walk down New Orleans or Boston or something and you get a couple hundred years of different history, of architecture and history. Yeah.
Very young comparatively. So how was the reception to what you were talking about with the groups there in Eastern Europe?
Oh, it was very good because actually a lot of priests and nuns wanted to ask me a lot of questions, mainly people that work with people. You know, they work with parishes or they work with youth or whatever, that kind of thing. And they were concerned because now all of a sudden things like yoga have really come into their culture there. Whereas it wasn't really there 5 years ago, it's in the culture now. They want to know, well, how do you deal with that? And Reiki, mm-hmm. for example, energy healing, different kinds of healing. These right. weren't in the culture at all even 3 years ago. And they're coming into the culture to where, you know, diocesan centers are asking questions and chancellors and people that, you know, under bishops and things are asking questions. Zen Buddhism was not a popular meditation at any time in recent history, and things like that are popular. Not popular, but they're streaming in, you mm-hmm. know, and they're wondering, you know, what do you do about this? Well, how do we deal with that? Well, in the West, we've already had such an infiltration in our churches that we're coming back to, you know, people want Latin Mass or something. they're going the opposite because they've had so much in their parishes that they just want to go back to something standard, but traditional. They're so traditional that they're shocked when these strange things come in. They don't know exactly how to deal with it. Mm. And what does it mean for them? Will it water down their faith? Are people still, you know, they have the questions that we've already experienced. We already had that. Mm. You know, the faith has already been watered down, and now what do we do? Well, people here just kind of go the opposite. All right, well, we'll just be all charismatic, or all Marian, or all Latin, or all this, or all, you know, in other words, it just kind of splits up the parish quite a bit, and people just want to go into their groups. Their parishes are more unified, and they don't have those kind of split in the parish yet because they haven't had that much infiltration, but now it's starting to creep in.
Hmm. Well, interesting. So is there something to learn from that community and say, you know, we need to be unified like that? Is there a way to kind of find that type of unity based on what you experienced there?
Well, they have history. We don't have that kind of history. I was in this one parish, for example, and they have... And during the week of Lenten week, before Easter, I guess the Holy Week before Easter, they have what they call the running of the cross, okay? Now, this has been going on since, I think, 700 years. So I talk to the person who signs people up. Like, he'll sign up. When babies are born, they sign their child up if it's to run the cross when they're 20. Yeah, okay, so their waiting list is now 70 years.
Oh my goodness.
We can't even understand this. We're talking about places where they have their grandfathers, their great uncles, they're going to sign up their future nephew, you know, the minute he's born. We don't understand the continuity that they have because we don't have it. It's so different.
Yeah.
It's not even a parade. It's a running of the cross, and it goes on throughout there, all these different villages and towns and, you know, seaports to seaport across the land. It's UNESCO, what do you call it, UNESCO preserved or UNESCO heritage site or something. It's under UNESCO now. That's how preserved this is. It's such an ancient ritual that they've got. You see what I mean? We don't have any concept of anything like that. We're glad to get our church that's only from the 1950s renovated. I mean, we're thinking that's a big deal.
Yeah, we don't have a 70-year waiting list for anything.
We're happy to get a local fundraising for the next renovation from a church that may be only 25 years old or 35 years old. We don't even they don't even think like we do. We don't think like they do. They have historical continuity. We have none of the above. It's very different.
Wow. Well,
And
even though it's completely... There really is no comparison, obviously, in a lot of ways. I would hope that there are things that we can at least begin to look at if this could be a model, like you say, because there's something, you could argue, well, there's something insular and there's something about this tradition that has been, but can we look at that and go, what can we capture from that? How can we begin to learn what they've done to endure? Because I think there's obviously something about that.
Well, when I talk to grandparents in North America, here's their biggest concern. Number one concern, how do I get my grandchildren baptized or my great-grandchildren? Mm-hmm. That's the biggest concern. That's not even on their radar in Eastern Europe. They don't even think like that.
Wow.
You would never consider not having your grandchild baptized. It's not even a consideration.
And did you discover what their concerns are?
Huge issue with grandparents. What do I do? I want to see my grandchildren. Should I do it in the bathtub, in the sink? You have to talk to your priest about it.
Yeah.
You talk to any parish priest in America, that's the number one concern with grandparents for the grandchildren. That's how serious it is here. We're so completely different. Isn't that amazing? They wouldn't even... Even if they're not going to church, there would never even be a question mark of having the children baptized. That's not even a question mark.
Yeah. Well, and I see this as well in some pockets of cultural, a steeped culture in the Catholic tradition. Certainly, you look at Southern Florida, right, Miami area, the Catholic community there. You do have a waiting list for baptisms. You do have special services after the Mass where they're doing these mass baptisms of 50 and 60 children at a time, right? I've experienced that. So
isn't that beautiful? It is, too, here. There's a beautiful, there's a church near, a little bit north of here, and they have 5,000 families, and they have once a month is the baptismal Sunday. They get anywhere 30, 40, 50 kids show up.
Yeah. Yes,
exactly. I know exactly what you mean.
And,
that's, but then again, I'm Southern Florida, Southern California, Louisiana. These are pockets of deep faith, but I'm talking about the rest of North America.
Not so at all. Not the exceptions, but the rules. I get you. Yeah.
Right. Arizona. I mean, there's the Southwest and the Southeast have much higher pockets of parishes with 3,000 to 5,000 people. I mean, one of my good friends from Montreal, Canada. Now, French Canada used to be the. Oh, my gosh, they have so much martyrs' blood up there and saints and so many saints. They have more saints in French Canada than in all of North America put together. A tremendous amount of saints. And yet, today, a lot of the parishes are museums or concert halls or closed down, just completely closed, in the middle of the city or right alongside the city. And my friend came down, French-Canadian. She was in California for somebody's wedding, and she went, every single day, she said, she just went to different churches just to see. She'd never seen anything like it. She said, I haven't seen anything like this in her whole life in Montreal, which would be 20, 30, 40 years now. 40 years now, I guess. There is nothing, they don't have anything such as parishes of 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 people. It does not exist anywhere in French Canada, which is extremely sad, since that was where the pocket of faith came and spread to the rest of North America.
Yeah,
over 200, a couple hundred years ago. Do you see?
More Noonan with us. I'm sorry. Want to reintroduce and certainly your website is spiritbattleforsouls.org. We're getting close to a break here, but you want to address the upcoming feasts of Saint Raphael. Is that right?
Yes.
And Saint Michael.
The archangels. Yes.
The Archangels, yes. Good deal. We'll come back and talk about that in just a moment. More to come after this. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Redbox Media now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media. Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown, Almost Hour. culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Maura Noonan, our guest this afternoon, spiritbattleforsouls.org. Welcome back, Maura.
Thank you.
You wanted to mention the importance of intercessory prayer. We were talking about kind of some of these stronger areas here and there within the country and how important it is to kind of build this network of intercessors. So what would you say to that?
Well, I'd say that if the Holy Spirit's really in these pockets that are really strong in the southern part of U.S., across the board, actually, then it would make sense to, you know, to the fire of the Holy Spirit can spread to the, you know, more dull or less active parts in U.S. and in North America, because some places, you know, which were really on fire back a couple hundred years ago or 100 or 200 years ago, need more help. So if we could just remember when we're praying to include all the parts, you know, we pray for our parish or our family, friends, our neighborhood, our loved ones. We need to pray for other places that are cold or, you know, the embers are dying out and they need a little bit of recharge for sure, because you know, we experience parishes 3,000 to 5,000 people all around us, and in many parts of the north of the continent, they're experiencing parishes in North America, period, North U.S., North, and in North Canada, they're experiencing parishes of maybe 60, 70 people.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe that's it.
Yeah, sure. Well,
so
I think
just,
we can...
you know, come Holy Spirit, and come a means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse, Our Lady of the Americas, please intercede for everywhere and for bringing back the faith everywhere and kindling in the hearts of those that are you know, losing their faith, to bring it back up again. The Holy Spirit can do that. We have to trust that.
And well, there's an unfortunate out-of-sight, out-of-mind mentality, and when we're not there in those areas thinking about the challenges, easy to forget, but we need to be reminded. Well, speaking of intercessory prayer, feasts are always a great time to think about praying for the church, and we've got a big feast next week with the Feast of the Archangels, so what
yes,
do you
we do.
Suggest
Michael,
we do with this?
Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael, and one of the ways to start preparing for that is to start doing the chaplet of St. Michael the Archangel, and you can get that online. It's really, it's a special chaplet, and it honors St. Michael with 9 prayers to the heavenly choir of angels. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah.
So our church teaches that we have 9 heavenly choir of angels, and one of them is archangels, heavenly choir of archangels, and one of them is by the intercession of St. Michael and the heavenly choir of archangels, may it please God to grant us the gift of perseverance in the faith. That's one of the things we pray to the archangels for. And in all good works, that we may attain the glory of paradise. And Archangel Michael, you know, this whole prayer, I'm not exactly sure. I know it's tradition in the church, that's for sure. But one of the promises of it is that those who would practice this devotion in his honor, and his feast day coming up next Thursday, 29, would have, when approaching the Holy Table, an escort of 9 angels, one chosen from each of the 9 choirs, in addition for the 9 salutations. He promises to continually assist us in that of all the holy angels during our life and after our death, deliverance from purgatory for ourselves and for our relations. Talk about a promise from heaven that can help get, you know, some of those people are related to that are falling away from the church or that aren't practicing very deeply. Why not? If we do this chaplet, then we're praying for our relations to get them back. Isn't that amazing? Some of the other roles that he has within the church is tradition says he's guardian angel to our Blessed Mother, and he's the guardian of the Blessed Sacrament. He's the guardian of the Pope, and he's also defender of souls, helper in battle, so he's used a lot for different soldiers and so forth. He's advocate for the dying. So, you know, when we're working with hospice or grief or people that we know that, you know, terminally ill or whatever, we just pray for a St. Michael to be advocate for them. Because the final battle at the time of death is more serious than anything they're experiencing right now, actually. So I pretty much am praying it all the time. I've taught children as young as 5 years old to start praying it. So it's really they're doing it all the time now.
Well, you know, really I hate important. To admit this, quite honestly, Maura, but I was not familiar with the chaplet to St. Michael.
They're not praying the chaplet, but I'm saying they're just praying the St. Michael prayer, the short version.
Oh, yeah. No, but that's great. But I mean, since we've been talking, I Googled it up here, and I've never prayed this prayer, this chaplet prayer before, but it's pretty cool.
Well, I'm glad I can say it on here then, because look at the promises it comes with. I mean, who doesn't want to be delivered from purgatory for themselves and their relatives? I mean, that's really good stuff.
Thank you, God.
No the promises of the church, isn't that beautiful? So these things are important to learn and know about. And a lot of people don't even know that we have 9 choirs. You know,
right,
the names of them. And it's really good to know them, because a lot of times the secular media starts putting out all this stuff on angels and the names of angels. And, you know, and our church says, you know, don't fall prey to that kind of thing. And here you go. You have the exact names of each choir: seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominions, powers, virtues, principalities, archangels, and the heavenly choir of angels, which includes our own guardian angel. So I think these are really good things to know, good knowledge to know, and good to call on them, since we live in the, you know, we're in the communion of saints, and the angels are supposed to be helping us with temptation, helping us correct depraved passions, having dominion over our senses. Like, that's the choir of dominions. We ask them to intercede for us to get the grace to have dominions over our senses, so that, you know, if somebody's trying to lose weight, well, they see it, they want to eat it. Well, pray to the dominions, choirs of dominions, so you don't have to see it and eat it.
Wow.
You see it and you can let it go.
Yeah. Well, I think it's easy to forget that we should call upon this assistance, this divine assistance that's there, even for things that may look like, well, it's kind of insignificant or mundane, but, I mean, to have that kind of intercession through the choirs of angels and certainly through the archangels. I mean, my goodness, why would we not want to take advantage of that?
Oh, especially if you're a student. I mean, I tell students all the time, before you go to the test, say the St. Michael prayer and ask your guardian angel to assist you. They never even thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really helpful. And they're as young as first, second, third graders are willing to do that. They know, because school is hard these days. It's harder than, you know, it's tough. They get tests right away. So why not ask for help?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to remember, you know, just how powerful the archangels are, especially St. Michael, the feeder of Satan. This is what we can call upon. We can call upon that amazing protection that can be there, healing through St. Raphael, with all of these
healing, and he's also for travelers, for anybody going on a journey, a driving a driving trip, or a flying or a train or buses, whatever travel. And St. Gabriel is a messenger of God, so you know, people say, well, I don't know God's will, I really wish I knew. Well, why not ask him for some help to know God?
No.
He brings you a message from God. He's the one that's for the Annunciation for Our Lady. And your soul will conceive a son. You'll bear a son. And Our Lady got that message through Archangel Gabriel. So he still works today. He can work for you and me if we just call on him as well. I mean, we're not Our Lady, but he can call. We can certainly, doesn't hurt to ask.
Well, I think you've also got to be careful when you ask that, right? Because you just might get an answer. You just might get an answer.
Be prepared.
And then, and then what do you do,
right? You got to do it because
exactly.
You don't want to offend God's will. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's kind of, you know, working in youth ministry as much as I did back in the day, that was one of the things I always challenged the kids. I said, hey, if you don't believe in God, or you don't believe that there's a will for your life, just ask and see what happens. You know, ask him to show up, prove it, and show you what that path is. But just be prepared, because it may not be what you want.
Exactly. But you know what? God will give you the joy of it anyway. If you're doing his will, he gives you joy. So he'll give you that joy inside. Even if it's something you didn't think you wanted to do. So that's one thing I tell you a lot. You know, you're going to get that if you say yes. You know, like Pope Francis is saying, yes, St. John Paul, give your fiat, yes. If you say yes, then he'll give you the joy to, one, fulfill that yes, and also to know you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So that'll be,
well, I think
that's something that I tell you.
Yeah, and that's kind of a litmus test, I think, to being in the will of God as well, is if you can find joy, especially when it's tough. I think that's really kind of a hallmark of truly walking in that will, and there's something beautiful about that, because we could be doing things that may be seemingly materialistically fulfilling, but there's no joy in it. I mean, that how terrible would that be? So
yeah,
considering the alternative.
You hear a lot of people say that, you know, they got everything, but there was emptiness.
Mm.
So yeah, so even if you don't feel the joy, you're going to feel the peace, or you have some kind of a sense. For me, I get the humor a lot in the midst of it.
In
the midst of what I think looks like chaos, I get the humor, and then I think, oh, you know, really, God, you've got the best sense of humor. And then I start feeling the joy when I see his humor in the whole thing.
Well, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us.
You.
We'll talk again next time. SpiritBattleForSouls.org. Maura Noonan. Back after this, I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Howard.
Thank you, Leo.
For listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown, Almost Alan. Culture, Current Events, our Catholic Faith 50 Minutes every afternoon. Thursday afternoons, we are joined by Father Michael White of Church in the Nativity and the Rebuilt Parish Association. Father, how are you?
Hey, Leo. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for being with us.
Great. Thank you for having me.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, we are so excited here at Church in the Nativity in Timonia, Maryland, because this is a very special weekend for us.
And what is that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We have our annual small group launch, which means that we open up small groups to everybody who's not in a small group, because we are a church of small groups.
Okay. So is there only a certain time when somebody can step into this small group and they got to kind of wait for this launch weekend, or how's it work?
No, they can step in anytime they want, but every fall, and then again at the beginning of the year, we make a special pitch, because this is a time of year when people are getting involved in things again and coming back from vacation. So it's a natural time to get involved. And I'm anxious to bring it to your listeners' attention, because small groups are relatively rare in most Catholic parishes, I think.
Yeah, it's a lifeblood of most evangelical communities, but I think it's something still kind of foreign to most Catholic parishes.
So I just want to encourage everybody to think about it, because small group life, small group programs are easy to get started, and they don't cost a parish anything, and they can make quite a lot of difference in the life of a parish. In fact, we think that they've made all the difference in the life of our parish and the rebuilding of our parish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's something about, well, I mean, you know, you want to have this community involvement. You want to be able to bring a sense of a real connectedness, and it's kind of hard to do just once a week, isn't it?
It really is. You need another time to go deeper. You need the opportunity to not only hear the homily and the gospel on Sunday, but respond to it and talk about it. We like to say that, you know, on Sunday morning, we sit in rows, but on Monday or Tuesday, whenever we have our small group, we sit in a circle. Mm. And when we're in church, we're listening. That's really a big part of what we should be doing. When we're in the group, we can talk.
Yeah.
When you come to church on Sunday morning, you're hearing me and what I've got to say. In your small group, it's your opportunity to respond. So it's incredibly important that our parishioners are involved in a conversation, an ongoing conversation that's part of their faith formation. And 9 times out of 10, that's just not going to happen unless it's intentional. And small groups can be that intention, can be the lived reality of that intention.
So do you have any idea, percentage-wise, about the numbers that are involved in small groups at your parish?
Yeah, right now we have about 1,000 people involved in small groups in our parishes. But that's not good enough because we want 100% participation.
Wow.
And so thus the pitch this weekend.
So 1,000 represents how many out of your parish? You've got a couple of thousand in attendance?
We have... these days, we probably have weekend attendance 4,000, so it would be about 4,000.
Oh, okay. Wow, well, still, that's wrong. I mean, my goodness, if we understand the Matthew Kelly numbers of the 6%, you've kind of significantly increased off of that, so that's impressive.
Yeah, we're happy, but we're going to keep working at it. A couple of things about small group for your listeners. Small groups are small. Like to say it's in a big group. If the group gets too big, people can't talk and get intimidated. And if it's too small, they have to do too much talking. So small groups are 6 to 10 people. They can be mixed groups. They can be men's groups, women's groups. They can be according to affinity, like moms groups or senior citizens groups. They can be according to location, like in a given neighborhood. We have a couple of groups that meet downtown because guys work downtown and get together on their lunch hour. They can be according to any way you want to set them up that works for you. We like to say that small groups are integrated into the life of our parish. They're not standalone operations, but they're very much involved in the life of the parish. This is a big one, Leo. Small groups can be a parish's delivery system for pastoral care.
Hmm.
Now, I think that every single pastor in this country has been, you know, reproached by a parishioner who said at one point or another, I was in the hospital and nobody came to visit me.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Or, you know, we had a thing going on in our family and nobody reached out to us. Well, most pastors just don't have enough time to do all the pastoral care that's called upon, but a small group can offer pastoral care to their other members.
Hmm. That's neat.
So we like to say it's our delivery system for pastoral care.
Yeah, and I think what I hear you saying is it doesn't necessarily have to be the pastor for someone to know they're being cared about by the parish, and if that's you right. have this built-in understanding that, hey, we're going to go take care of this. We're going to go visit so-and-so. We're going to go make sure that they're cared for and loved on. Now you've multiplied your efforts, and I think there's a beautiful reality that can be seen in something of that nature. That's terrific.
We had one of my favorite examples of this. We had a mom who tragically lost a child. She lost an infant at birth, and she was in a mom's small group. And those women rallied around her. They gave her 24/7 support, care, and attention. They helped plan the funeral. They hosted a luncheon afterwards, and more importantly, they were there with her in the sad days that followed the funeral, when, you know, lots of grieving people are left alone.
Yeah, well, and you think about the if somebody could experience that. I've heard these stories because I've had friends who say, well, I was going through this, whatever it was, nobody reached out. But you think about now we just lost an opportunity. That person probably, I mean, without a lot of pastoral care will never come back through your doors. But think about how solid The difference would be with somebody saying, hey, these guys reached out to me. They were my family. They were there for me. They're not going to go anywhere. They've experienced community in a way that is vibrant, and they're connected now. They're there.
That's right. That's right. It's just a beautiful thing to see in action. We like to say that small groups are our schools for discipleship. That really, mm-hmm. in a small group, I really have an opportunity to not only learn about my faith and discuss my faith, but to grow in my faith as I share my faith with you and you share your faith with me. You know, St. Paul preaches that. He urges us to help one another in faith. And he's not just talking about the pastor to the parishioner. He's talking about parishioner mm-hmm. to parishioner.
Yeah. Well, it's that lovely Hebrews 3:13 passage from the Daily Office, right? Encourage each other while it's still today. And if we can be in that mode of constant encouragement because we're a community and a community within a community, that's beautiful. So why do you think it is, Father, that parishes just really haven't caught up to this? Why are we not there yet? Why are we not developing this kind of platform?
There was something that crept into Catholic culture, and I don't know the entire history of this or understand it, but there's something that crept into Catholic culture that said we go through Catholic school or we go through religious education and we get to eighth grade or we get to confirmation and then we're done. We're fully formed Christians. And it ain't so. It ain't so. All of us know that that's a lifetime project. And it's but without a program, without a plan, it's not going to happen. It's like mm-hmm. any good habit, you know. I intend to exercise and work out, but if I don't have a plan to do it, and I don't have other people who I can be accountable for it to happen, it doesn't happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the same is going to be true with ongoing faith formation. If I don't have a plan, it's not going to happen. Anyway, yeah. I just wanted to say this on your program, Leo, because anybody in any setting who is interested in small group life, small group program, can get a program started. And we're mm-hmm. happy to help. Just go to our website, and you can read all about it. We've got materials. We've got curriculum. You know, if you want to start a small group program in your parish, hopefully with your pastor's approval,
sure.
you can go to our website, Church Nativity, and read all about it.
Yeah. Well, Father, my guess is, being a pastor, you know this, if somebody is taking that kind of initiative, coming to you and saying, hey, Father, can we do this? Generally, your response is going to be absolutely, and sure. What resources can we offer? You want this. You want them to be able to connect this way. Hey, Father, we're out of time. Unfortunately, the time always goes so fast, but thank you so much for being with us. And Rebuilt Parish Association, right?
That's right.
All right. We'll talk next week. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless.
That's all we have time for. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless.